Arjuna has just started seeing the universal form of the Lord. And it is an amazing, wondrous form. Bhagavad Gita tells us. It is so powerful and so wonderful that Arjuna became completely bewildered and astonished. And his hair stood on ends. This is unusual for Arjuna, because Arjuna has always been in the mood of loving friendship and intimate friend with Krishna. When you are friend with someone and you are talking to him, your hair goes stand on end normally. You are not bewildered and astonished by your friend. He is very close with you. Nothing he does actually bewilders you. Nothing he does will astonish you. Instead you say, oh, I know him, you know. That's how close they are. We eat together, we sleep together, we talk to each other, we quarrel, we fight, or we are the best of friends. We don't start to say symptoms with Arjuna this day. It is significant that this has happened here, because now the divine vision, as Rupa writes in the first one, has been given to Krishna to see the universal form of the Lord. So the moment he sees the universal form of the Lord, Prabhupada and Bhagavad Gita tells us that his vision of Krishna, so to speak, slightly changed. I use the word slightly because Prabhupada explains here that though he continued exchanging his relationship as friend, but for that moment when he saw the universal form, his friendship for Krishna was overwhelmed by the wonder that Krishna is so powerful, so amazing, so wondrous, and so inconceivable. He could not understand that, and that form of Krishna bewildered him in a manner of speaking. Krishna, Arjuna is of course pure devotee of the Lord, but he's teaching us a very important point in this verse. And what is the important point in this verse? This verse tells us something very nice about the word relationship. This is what this verse is actually about. My Guru Maharaj told me once that the English language is a very wonderful language. It plays on words. If you use the word relationship, actually the whole idea of relationship is very nicely conveyed in the word relationship. When two of us relate to each other, we are relating on a platform. That is how two people relate. Right? If you and I speak to each other even physically, we have to stand on something when we speak, or sit on something when we speak. That is our platform. On a certain level, when two of us are exchanging as relating to each other, the platform may not be physical, but the platform in which we relate to each other is always based on some form of trust, some form of love. You know, of course, if we are relating to each other as enemies, then you know the platform changes a bit. But the platform, Guru Maharaj told me, is known as the ship. The platform on which two people are relating is the ship. So we can be on so many different ships. But we say relationship because everyone relates on some basis. And that is why relating with each other is such an important concept even in mankind. Nobody can live without a relationship. Even if you say, I have no friends, I have no relatives, or I have relatives but I don't relate to them, I don't relate to anyone, still you have one relationship at least, and that's with yourself. That also requires a ship. It requires a platform. So nobody in this world is devoid of a relationship. And the point you must understand here is that this verse gives us a glimpse of the fact that Krishna is actually the reservoir. Such a nice word Prabhupada uses. It is not an accidental word. A reservoir is always, you know, I didn't know reservoir by the way. So, it's the reservoir, right? The real meaning of reservoir is actually a source of water. If you look it up, reservoir is a French Anglo word, but it means source. Source. So how correct Srila Prabhupada is when he uses the word reservoir? Krishna is the source of all relationships in this world. The only difference is, as we will find out in the 15th chapter, that this world is a perverted reflection, an upside down reflection of the true status of our relationship with Krishna. That's why Prabhupada says very significantly here that not only is it the reservoir of all relationships, But he is the ocean of all the relationships which are not only exchanged between him and devotees, but between living entities, between the celestial beings, between the gods, between the devatas, between the demons. Everyone who is exchanging any kind of relation, the source of that relation is coming from Krishna. Why? Because Krishna is the super soul within everyone's heart. No demon in this world can say, he can say all at once, he can say Krishna is not in my heart. But spectrally speaking, on the basis of Bhagavad Gita 15:15, we know for sure that Krishna is in the heart of everyone. Therefore, no one can refute. So if he is in the heart, so all relations are coming not from this material world. The different kinds of relationships that we see in this material world are perverted reflections. Because we have forgotten Krishna, that's why it is perverted. Because Krishna is not in the center, that is why it is perverted. But once Krishna is put in the center of any relationship between all of us, that relationship becomes purified. And once it becomes purified, it becomes the platform, the ship, on which we can launch our devotional service to Krishna. This point we should remember. This is the framework of today's verse. If we remember that he is the source of the relationship, then we will take all our relationships with Krishna very seriously, isn't it? Because he is the source. And that also means that we will take all our relationships with devotees very seriously. We won't take devotees for granted, because why? Krishna is the source of that relationship. And we will never take any relationship with anyone for granted. Because even that relationship to prosper, that relationship to thrive, requires the blessings of the Lord every day. So, Krishna is in everything. He is emanating, everything is emanating from him, and he is in everything. That is why relationship is not divorced Krishna. Whenever two devotees relate, we should always remember very carefully that Krishna is in the center of our relationship. If we forget that, we are in difficulty. Prabhupada mentioned the second point, that there are 12 basic kinds of relationships. We understand from Prabhupada's introduction to Bhagavad Gita and from most of his writings and books and from Bhagavatam that out of these 12 different kinds of relationships, which are by the way stated in detail in Nectar of Devotion by Sri Rupa Goswami, who is the father of devotional service, 5 very important kinds of relationships we should remember. Because from these 5 primary relationships, all other combinations of relationships with the Lord come. The first relationship that we know from the pages of Nectar of Devotion is the relationship that is known as Shantaras. Relationship, there is no real particular word in Sanskrit. The closest word in Nectar of Devotion that is being used is actually the word Ras. Ras is translated by Prabhupada as mellow. Mellow. When you say something is a mellow, it means it is a feeling. It is the closest we can come to. There is some exchange. And when you say something is mellow, it means it is normally sweet. It is normally very mellow. When you say music is too loud, that means you're saying that, you know, it is not very pleasant. But when you say the music is very mellow, it means it is very pleasant. Why the word mellow is used? It is used because any relationship with Krishna is actually sublime. When something is mellow, it is also sublime. And when it is sublime, it means that it will relieve us of the burning fire of material existence. Whenever we engage in nice relationships with the Lord and devotees, that relationship brings peace to the heart. When you are fighting with your wife, when you are fighting with your husband, when you are quarreling in this iron age of Kali Yuga, that relationship is not something you sit back in the night and think, oh, such a mellow relationship. You just begin, why did I get into this relationship in the first place, you know? That's what you will be thinking. You will regret. But with Krishna in the center, there is no regret in our relationships. And Krishna is so kind, he doesn't designate that there is only one kind of relationship with me. No. Krishna is so kind that you can relate to him in so many different ways. But primarily, the relationships are coming from 5 main ways. The first way is by what we call the attitude of mutual affection to Krishna. mutual affection to Krishna. This is important for us to remember, because by the end of this verse, we should understand what is the implication of this relationship to us. This is very important. When we say that somebody is having some mutual affection to Krishna, it means, Rupa Goswami says, among other things, it means that we are having some appreciation of Krishna. When someone starts to appreciate the glories of the Lord, when he starts not taking Krishna for granted, when he starts understanding that Krishna is so attractive, when he starts to understand in his heart that there is some attraction to Krishna, he may not be in the highest platform of attraction, but if he begins to feel some attraction and appreciation of this movement, of this process, then it is to be understood that he is now coming in the mood of appreciation, and this is mutual affection for the Lord. It is not like he is completely immersed in affection for the Lord. But if you ask him, he will say, yes, I really appreciate what this movement is about. I appreciate this Krishna consciousness. This mood is considered by all our acharyas as being the starting point of the devotional service. It is the beginning process of devotional service. A good example Rupa Goswami gives us is that of the sages known as Sanat Kumaras. You know, the Sanat Kumaras are four very great sages. They are actually the sons of Brahma. They look like they are just little boys, you know, barely out of their 4 or 5 years old, completely naked without any clothes, but they are highly evolved transcendentalists. They were actually, Bhagavatam tells us, that they were actually completely fixed in the impersonal conception of Krishna. Krishna in the impersonal form. But when they came in contact with Krishna, more specifically, when they came in contact with the aroma, all they did was to smell the wonderful smell of tulsi leaves at the lotus feet of Krishna. In third canto, Bhagavatam tells us that the moment they smell the aroma of Tulsi Maharani, their hearts melted and they began to appreciate the attractive feature of the Lord, and therefore they became devotees of the Lord. So Rupa Goswami tells us there is a very good example of how the Sanat Kumaras, who may have been attracted to the impersonal feature of the Lord, and then they begin to form a relationship with Krishna based on this mutual affection. Can you have a relationship with the Lord if you have attraction for the impersonal feature of the Lord? You cannot. Because how can you relate with someone who is impersonal? Normally when you come for any devotional programs, you will get attracted to the devotee who is the friendliest, who is the warmest, who is the most loving. It is normal. If someone is just looking at you, staring at you, glaring at you, you say, Hare Krishna Prabhu. You say, Hare Krishna Mataji. You get this kind of response 20 times, what do? You start becoming impersonal. Right? You just start keeping a distance. Okay, this is an impersonal relationship I have with this person. I will see his impersonal form, God knows what. And he will see my impersonal form, and he will relate impersonally. So, frankly speaking, there is no shift to relate on. Because it is impersonal. You just fall right through. So that is why the impersonal is best chance to become a personal relator of Lord and devotees, is to start with this appreciation. You just think, those of us who are paka in our impersonalist conception of the Lord, you know, I'll be the first one to put up my hand. The first thing that got me attracted to Krishna consciousness was the fact that I could appreciate, some appreciation was there, that Prabhupada was writing so much about Krishna that I thought to myself, something this great personality is writing about Krishna must be very nice. So I, without realizing it, I was beginning to appreciate this process. I didn't realize it. But at that appreciation by Krishna's mercy got me in touch with the association of loving devotees. And then that loving relationship, right, was the platform on which I began to get attracted to the devotional service. So this is very important start for all of us as devotees. Then, the second kind of relationship that is also very important, but which is slightly more closer to Krishna in that sense, is the relationship of servitude. In servitude, nectar of devotion is actually very, very elaborate on these topics. But for the purpose of our discussion, it is very important for us to realize that when a devotee is attracted to Krishna in serving him, then he becomes a very good servitor of the Lord. Rupa Goswami says that you can serve Krishna in four different ways. You can serve him like the devatas are serving him. They are administrators. Krishna has given their functions, they serve. You can serve because, like some of the residents of Vrindavan Bhumi, when they saw Krishna protecting them, they felt in their hearts, you know, that Lord is my supreme protector, therefore it is my duty to serve him. And out of their love for his protection and for his love, they began to serve him. That service is also considered service to the Lord. Why? Because we firmly believe that the Lord is protecting us. Then you can have service as the associates of the Lord serve him, like Uddhava. Uddhava is considered a great, great servitor of the Lord. He is so closely connected to Krishna that when the gopis first saw Uddhava come to see them, they actually thought that Uddhava was Krishna. Why? Because even his physical features resemble so much Krishna. Uddhava was very, very wonderful servant of the Lord. And he was so closely associated with the Lord, but his mood with the Lord was always one of great affection expressed through servitude. This was Uddhava's special relationship with Krishna. And then you have the devotees who are known as Seva Nishas. They are also considered eternally associates of the Lord, who are always, always in the mood of great service to the Lord. They cannot live one moment even without serving Krishna. And in the form of Lord Ram, the greatest example we can remember is Hanumanji. Hanumanji's prayer in Srimad Bhagavatam is very nice, you know. Na janma dunam mahato na saubhagam na vala buddhi na kate sesha geto vaidya prishishta na pino vayo kasha chatara sakye vadala shnadamaja. I think this is 5th canto, somewhere around 18th chapter or 19th chapter. Hanumanji prays his prayer to the Lord. And this shows us everything about the mood of service that the devotee has for Krishna. He tells Krishna, you know, he tells Lord Ram, O Lord, na janma, na janma. I have no high birth. I am not born from Kshatriya family. I am not born from Brahmana family. You know, frankly speaking, I am born from monkey family only. Right? I don't have high parentage. I don't have high birth. Na saubhagam. I don't have pedigree. You know, I don't come from a cultured family. Monkeys generally, they are not the most cultured of animals. So we are just moving around. You know, if someone says, Prabhu, you are like a monkey. Not generally praiseworthy, you know. If they paraphrase it, they say, no, I was thinking of Hanuman. they may get away with it. But generally, it's not something nice. So he says, na janmanunam, mahato na saubhagam. I have no parentage, straight birth. I am not of high parentage. I am not born into high family, not caste, no high creed, nothing. On top of that, now I have no speech even. I can't speak Sanskrit, I don't know shlokas, I cannot use sweet poetry words to praise you. Frankly, I am like monkey, I'm just speaking gibberish. I don't have intelligence also, you know, I am not a human being, so I don't have intelligence. Basic intelligence is there, that's all. I don't even have a place to stay, Lord. I'm just moving around in the vana, I'm in the forest. My house is a tree, every night one tree, that's all. That's my house. Frankly speaking, I have no qualification at all. But despite the lack of all my qualifications, you have somehow or another accepted me, Chakara Sakye. You've accepted me as your friend. You accepted me as friend. But in my heart, right, I am not qualified to be accepted even as your friend. This is mood of a servant, servant, servant of the Lord. This is the mood. Hanumanji's mood is very important for us. Why? Because we also should approach the Lord lovingly and express the fact that we have no qualities which are even useful in the Lord's service. It is true. Because very often, you know, we hear something, but actually we are nothing. But Hanumanji became such a great devotee because he remained very much on a humble platform. So this is the mood of servitude that is very nice. The third mood is also very nice. It is the mood of fraternity. Fraternality. Fraternity means it is a mood of friendship. When someone is fraternal with someone, it means that we are friends. And the best example that Arjuna, the best example in Nectar of Devotion is Arjuna. Outside of Vrindavan, we find that Arjuna was the best example think it is Arjuna, very nice, because Bhagavad Gita is coming because of mercy of this great devotee of the Lord. Arjuna's friendship with Krishna cannot be underestimated. In the pages of Bhagavatam, particularly in the first canto, 15th chapter, which we discussed 2 weeks ago, you find a verse there, I think it's 115.19 or 115.20. There, Arjuna is thinking, you know, in his heart, you know, he tells Yudhishthira Maharaj that I was so intimate, Krishna is so kind that he allowed me to be such a friend with him. He allowed me to be so close a friend with him. He never put any barriers between him and me. Whenever I ate, he was eating with me. We slept together, we fought together, we woke up together, we ate together, we joked together. Sometimes as a friend, you know, I would jokingly rebuke him. Sometimes I would reproach him. Sometimes if something attractive passed by me, I would tell him, look, there is a very attractive object passing me. So like that, you know, I just could reveal my heart anytime. And sometimes when I thought, you know, that Krishna was not responding, I would just rebuke him like a friend would rebuke a friend. And now, Arjuna is thinking to himself in that verse, you know, because Krishna has left the world. Arjuna thinks, now I realize that he was my Supreme Lord. He is my Supreme Personality of Godhead. And despite being such an exalted personality in the whole wide world, still, he was so kind to consider me his friend. This is Guru, of a friend who is serving Krishna. Then, in parenthood, Vatsalya Das is the next stage, the fourth stage. There is an even more intimate stage in relationship with Krishna. And in the best example we can think of today, which is most appropriate, is Yashoda Mata. Nature of devotion, Rupa Goswami says Yashoda Mata is considered the highest example, together with Nanda Maharaj, the highest example of the exhibition of parenthood love for Krishna. And this is normally done by older devotees and very senior devotees. In fact, Rupa Goswami describes Yashoda Mata's love for Krishna very nicely. He says, you know, that Yashoda Mata was always worried about the well-being of her son. From morning till night, she would churn the best butter, get the best milk, give him the best, and make sure that her child lacked nothing. And when Krishna performed all these wondrous pastimes, like lifting Govardhan Hill, like moving this mota, and breaking and crashing this Arjuna trees, Yashoda Mata did not suddenly think, who is this person? Is he really my son? I thought he was just a child. No. Rupa Goswami tells us that she would always think, you know, that Krishna, you are a small boy. I have to pray to Lord Vishnu to make sure that he will protect my son Krishna. Then she would pray that because we worship Vishnu, the result of that worship was he was very pleased and he sent us this beautiful boy named Krishna. Then she would go on to say, when Krishna was saved from Putana, you know, she always thought that, oh, the child, it is impossible that Krishna killed Putana. Krishna was saved because of all our prayers and Lord Vishnu was always protecting him. Then when the Yamuna Arjuna trees fell, Yashoda Mata said that Arjuna trees fell because of strong winds. The winds came to Vrindavan and they just pushed down. At that time only Krishna was passing through the trees. So that's why he fell. When Krishna lifted those and gave Rupa Goswami tells us that Yashoda Mata said, oh, Krishna and Balaram looked like they were lifting the golden tree, but actually Nanda Baba was standing behind. He was the one who was helping them. That's what he was doing. You see, the beauty of this love that a parent has for a son or a daughter is that as far as they're concerned, you can be anyone. You can be the greatest person. I don't care. You're just my baby boy or you're my baby girl. This is mood of parent, isn't it? Normally as a parent, we understand this mood. So naturally, Yashoda Mata, she did not want to believe Krishna was anything. For her, it didn't matter. Krishna was all in all. He was her life, pran. He was her soul. He was everything to her. So did it matter who he was? It did not matter. As far as she was concerned, this boy required my protection. He is my dear son. We have to protect him. So like that, you know, she was always anxious to serve Krishna, always anxious to maintain him. She was always very kind to him. And that is why Krishna never bothered to show that I am Supreme Personality of Godhead. He didn't want to. He didn't want to. Because he knew that this relationship was what she wanted, and she was firmly fixed in it, and it heightened her remembrance of the Lord. And for Krishna, Prabhu Sipatiji, that is all that matters in the relationship. And for us as devotees, that is the most important shift of our relationship, that we remember Krishna. The last and the highest form of relationship with Krishna is described as the conjugal love. This love for Krishna is best expressed by the gopis of Vrindavan. The gopis of Vrindavan, they knew no one except Krishna. What is that verse to you? Vikretukamakilavokukanya muraripadarpitachetavirti dadyadikam mohavasosan govindanamo. In this verse, you know, it is very nicely described that the gopis, you know, daily they would only be going to the marketplace, you know, and they would be actually putting up all their curd, dairy products and everything, and they were supposed to get them going, you know. But my Guru Maharaj very nicely describes, he always says that instead of going there and speaking and advertising about their cheese and their butter and their yogurt, right, what they would say is, Govinda, Madhava, Madhusudana, they would just be chanting Krishna's names like mad women. Nobody would buy their products. But they would continue because they were not interested in their material affairs. Instead of seeing anything or anywhere, they only saw Krishna in everything they did. What is that other verse, Guruji, from Gopi Ji? Atipiyatvavan. Yes, that is nice. Atipiyatvavan. Anikananam. Kritayugayate. Vammapashyata. Kutilakuntalam. Srimukamchate. Janam Vikshita. Pakshmakritnisha. Atipiyatvavan. Anikananam. Kritayugayate. This is a beautiful verse. It appears in 10th canto, 33rd chapter, 15th verse. 31, 10, 31, 15. It's a beautiful verse. Why? This expresses the mood of the gopis. The gopis were always, always could not bear separation from Krishna. Because they accepted Krishna in their heart as their Lord, as their Lord. So because they accepted Krishna in their heart as their Lord, as their husband, there was no one else in their heart. A chaste woman does not accept anyone in her heart except her husband. In the same way, for the gopis, it did not matter to them what relationship they had materially with Krishna. All that mattered to them in their hearts was that Krishna was all in all for them. And that was sufficient. So this verse tells us, you know, that the gopis were very, very angry with Brahmaji, their creator. Why? Because they say very nicely that Krishna, in the morning, we get to get a glimpse of you. Just for a while, Yashoda Mata dresses you up, you look very beautiful, you see Krishna looks very nice. So everything is very nice. But before we can take nice darshan of you and associate with you, you go off with the gopas and the cowherd boys and the calves and the cows into the forest. Once you go into the forest, we don't see you for a whole day. Now when you come back, we are waiting to see you. And when we see you, it is so wonderful. Why? Because, you know, the dust from the hooves of the cows, they have already gone into your hair. You look very beautiful despite being completely disheveled. But despite all that, you are so wonderful, but despite all that beauty, again we cannot see you for a long time, because this creator of ours, who is Lord Brahma, unfortunately, he has chosen to create eyelids. And these eyelids that he has created is an impediment, because every time we blink, it is like one yuga. Srute yugayate, it is like a yuga. Don't even try to feel that we are in this mood. Very difficult, you know. We don't even realize 10 years have gone and we have not done anything in our emotional service. but the gopis feel that one blink of an eye and it's like a yuga. I don't know how many times I've prayed, but I never felt anything that Krishna is gone, you know. I don't know how many times I've prayed now also, but I have no love for the Lord. So this mood of conjugal lust is to be tasted by the highest of the highest degrees. So what should we do then, brothers and sisters? These are the wonderful relationships that Prabhupada has explained to us. What is Prabhupada telling us in this verse? And what is the significance of Arjuna's position now in this verse? This is very important for us. The first thing we must understand is, Arjuna was in a relationship with Krishna, already established as an intimate friend. That we know. Right? We quoted 115.19 to show how close they were as friends. In fact, Arjuna went on to say that in the battlefield, Krishna took all the arrows just so that he would protect me from the arrows. And when I was thirsty and I wanted water for myself and for my horses, Krishna protected me from the whole military phalanx. How, I don't know. But he just protected me so that I could even drink water. This is a true friend. A true friend. So Krishna and Arjuna were very close. But at this point of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada writes to inform us, the relationship has changed a bit. It has changed, instead of just being on the friendship point, Arjuna has taken a step back and looked at his friend Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with wonder, with reverence, and with awe. Right? Why this is important for us is because sometimes our problem is, as devotees, that while we are always reading Nectar of Devotion and all these scriptures, and we tell ourselves that we should be in these different rafts, we should not take for granted the fact that Prabhupada has stated to us that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's way for us in the starting points of our devotional service, which very much are in the stage of infancy. Infancy. If not infancy, maybe even in the position of a fetus, fetal development of devotional service. At this stage, Mahaprabhu has given us the way in which we should start our relationship with Krishna. And that is Das Anudas. Gopi Bhaktahu Padamamurayo, Das Anudas Anudas. That is the root of how we start our friendship, our love, our relationship with Krishna. This is Mahaprabhu's mercy to us. Why? Because if we start forming relationships by serving devotees, of the devotees, of the devotees of the Lord, then Prabhupada says our consciousness will become purified to such an extent that somehow or another we will be able to remember Krishna. The summum bonum of our devotional service, of all the relationships, is only one factor we should remember. And that is the point that Rupa Goswami tells us in Nectar of Devotion. Yena tena prakarena. Right? Very important verse for us to know. Yena tena, somehow or another. Right? Somehow or another. Manaha Krishne. Manaha, the mind. Krishna means Krishne. Niveshe. Somehow or another, the mind must be engaged in the remembrance of Krishna. Sarve viti nishadaru. Sarve viti means whatever other rules and regulations, whatever principles there are there. Etayor evakim eva kinkaraha. Whatever other principles of devotional service there may be, Prabhu said Mataji, they all become servants of this one principle, the mother of all principles. What is this mother of all principles? That somehow or another, one should fix his mind on Krishna by any means. This is why Krishna is so kind that he has formed this loving boat, this ship, for us to relate with him. He has given us choices. You feel parental affection for Krishna? Fine. You continue that way. You feel that it is better in your devotional service to serve Krishna? It comes naturally, spontaneously, serve the Lord. But remember one thing. As a parent, you are not devoid of service. As a conjugal lover, you are not devoid of service. As someone in Shantaras, you are not devoid of service. Service is the denominator of all relationships with Krishna. We should never be mistaken. says that at the point where I'm thinking Krishna is my child, he's a we. This is not relationship. Huh? The ship will sink. Definitely the ship will sink. Right? It will go in the water. We should never forget that. Let us not take it for granted that we are senior devotees, we are advanced devotees, we have established some kind of nice relationship with Krishna. Now service has been given to those who are serving you, Chandras. They are the ones who must do more service. There is a mistaken impression of the devotional service. Huh? If we understand that, we have not understood anything about devotional service. Please remember that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told us that in whatever relationship you have with Krishna, we are still servants of the servants of the servants. That is why when we are doing Mangala Arati, for example, in the morning, when we are doing Arati, for example, and we have our spiritual master, we are not actually doing the Mangala Arati. Actually what we are doing is we are just assisting our spiritual master for him to do Mangala Arati for Krishna. And when he is doing Mangala Arati for Krishna, he is in his mood, even though he is so exalted, his mood is there, he is doing, he is assisting his spiritual master to perform Mangala Arati. And his spiritual master is so humble in his servitude that he is saying that I am assisting my spiritual master. Gopi Bhaktu Pada Kamalayo Das Das Das. This is the mood of devotee. Never think that I am performing service to Krishna. That means your ship is in me. Arjuna never thought that I am the one who is the greatest of warriors. No. That is why Krishna gave him the divine vision to see this universal form. And though Arjuna became overwhelmed with this wonder, the reason why he had this wonder for us is so that we should always remember to take one step back and look at this big picture and never forget that Krishna is our supreme personality of God. We should never take Krishna for granted. Prabhupada advanced this point very nicely by saying familiarity breeds contempt. As devotees, we must be very careful of this pitfall of devotional service. How to avoid the pitfall of devotional service? It is always recommended that we have this humble mood, right, of serving the devotees. We cannot serve Krishna directly. What qualification do we have? The great devotees of the Lord, they can serve Krishna, but we cannot. So Arjuna's relationship with Krishna never changed. We should be clear about that. But he is indirectly pointing to us this very important thing, that we should always remember that Krishna is our supreme Lord and he is our all in all. And there is no one above him, and there is no one else to take his place, and there is no one else we need to turn to, and there is no one else we should enshrine in our hearts to remember except him and his devotees. This we should remember. Another important point we should remember in Bhagavad Gita is that Arjuna's relationship with Krishna actually underwent a serious change. It actually underwent a serious change at the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Do you remember? At chapter 2, text 7, Arjuna's relationship with Krishna completely changed. It's a very famous verse. Kalpanya dosho bhavata svabhavam prichami samdharma samurchetaha yashreyasya nishtim bhumi tanhe shishyasya hamsadhi amvam prapandham. This verse is very important to us. Why? Because here Arjuna is telling Krishna, now I am confused about my duty. He's advanced all his arguments in the first chapter why he is not going to fight. After that point he was speaking to Krishna as a friend. Then he says, finally after talking everything, he says, now I'm confused about my duty. I have lost all my composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. This is a nice point from Guru Sivaji. Now he's asking the Lord, despite being in the friendship relationship, he's still requesting the Lord, please tell me what is best for me. And this is what we must learn in our relationship with Krishna. If we want to relate with Krishna and his devotees successfully, we must always remember that our only prayer to Krishna is always, Krishna, whatever you want to give me, I know that whatever you give me is best for me. What we want, Prabhu said Mataji, is that what we need are like day and night. Always remember that. The source of our greatest dissatisfaction in devotional service is because we approach Krishna and we tell him what we want. We don't get what we want, we get disappointed. But we forget that Krishna will give you not what you want, but what you need. If supposing we are very proud as devotees, then Krishna will give something that will cut us down and make us humble. Maybe he'll put us in a difficult situation. Supposing I think I'm a topper in my exams, I'm very good in my exams and everything. Maybe Krishna will decide next exam, right, give him a bit of a slap, make sure that he goes smashing down. Then we may wake up and think, oh, I thought I was very good, but I don't realize that without Krishna's hand, nothing is going to move. A devotee accepts that. What is that nice verse? Prithu Maharaj chants it. 4th canto, 20th chapter, 31st verse. We should remember. Tvanmaya yadha janaisha khandito yad anjara shashtarita maho buddha yata shre balayitam pita sayam tada tameva arhasi nasabhi hitam. Please look up this verse. If there's any prayer you should have, just cut and paste this verse, make it very big on an A4 size paper, put it in front of your bed. First thing you wake up, chant that verse. It'll keep us fixed in our relationship with Krishna. It won't make us sing. Because there, very nicely, Prithu Maharaj will say, Krishna, because of my constant association with the material world, I have got so stuck up with friendship, love and society that I have separated myself from you. This separation from Krishna is not the separation we talk about in Nectar of Devotion. This is not Vipulamba Seva. Vipulamba Seva is a very high form of separation from the Lord, where we are doing service for the Lord, but we feel that we are not up to the mark, genuinely. But here the devotee, this separation is that we have become so attached to anything and everything that we have forgotten Krishna. So Prithu Maharaj says, for so long I have been stuck in this material association that I have forgotten who you really are. Now my Lord, please I pray to you that whatever happens, just like a father knows what a son needs even before the son will ask for it, you please give me what you think is best for me. In this mood, all our relationships with Krishna will become very, very settled and very, very pacifying and very satisfactory. This is the process of the devotional service we should not forget. So in that mood only, Arjuna approached his relationship with Krishna. And in that mood, he said in 2.7 that in this condition, I am asking you to tell me what is best for me. And then he says something very important. Now I am your disciple. I am a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that although Arjuna was intimate with Krishna, at that point of time, right, he wanted to stop the friendly talks with Krishna. I like that point, you know. He said, I don't want to talk friendly talks with you. Why? Because when we talk friendly talks, we are not serious. You know, as friends, we don't take each other seriously. But Arjuna became very serious because he was in difficulty. So he turned to Krishna, knowing Krishna as his supreme master. And then very lovingly he asked him, I am now surrendered to you as a disciple is to a master. What does that tell us about our devotional service? That our relationship with our spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada is the most fundamental point of our devotional service. Once that relationship starts moving in the waters of this material ocean of birth and death, that ship will take us across this ocean very safely. Very safely. If we accept this point in our hearts and accept submissively a spiritual master and accept the Lord as Chaitanya Guru in our hearts to advance us to fall at the lotus feet of a spiritual master, then we take up this Gopi Bhaktu Padakamalaya Das Das Das. Then our relationship with Krishna will also automatically be. So the conclusion of this verse is very nice. Will the question we may ask in this verse is, did Arjuna's love for Krishna and service to Krishna drop because he suddenly went into this awe and reverence for the Lord? No. No. Why? Because his remembrance of the Lord never diminished. This point you must remember. When in 1 Kings 15 chapter, when Arjuna was remembering how grateful he was to the Lord, at the end of it he said this very nice point, you know. It is in 1:15:20. He says, now I am separated from my Lord because my Lord has left. He was my best friend. But now in my heart has become void. It is now empty without my best friend, who is my Lord. Then he goes on to say in 26 of the 15th chapter, now what do I have left? Arjuna is now giving us the instructions for this age. He says, now what do I have left? He says, now I am attracted to the instructions that were imparted to me by the personality of God. Now I am attracted to the instructions which were imparted to me by the personality of God. Why? Because these instructions are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. We should really remember this verse, Prabhus and Mahatis, because this is the reason why Bhagavad Gita is non-different from Krishna. This is why if we establish our relationship with Krishna on the platform of Bhagavad Gita, then if we become attracted to the instructions of Krishna as Arjuna did, then what happens to Arjuna? Then this is what happens. Arjuna became constantly, Arjuna's constant remembrance of the Lord repeatedly and rapidly increased his devotion for him. And because his devotion for Krishna increased, whatever trash, Prabhupada used the word trash, T-R-A-S-H, you know, trash, whatever trash that was in his thoughts, they subsided. See this relationship, the effect of a relationship with the Lord. If you constantly try and remember Krishna in any way, by any means, the trash which is in our minds, all the rubbish in our mind, they will subside. They will subside. That is why Shrimad Goswami in 285 of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says this point. He says, Pravishta Karna Randrena Swanam Bhava Sarodam. He says that devotee who hears Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, what happens to him? The sound incarnation of the Lord enters into the heart of the self-realized soul by hearing. And what does that sound vibration do? It sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship with the Lord. And when it sits on that lotus flower, Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna. Dhunoti Shamalam means whatever trash and rubbish that is found in our hearts, they all get wiped up. Just like Salidasya Yatha Sharad. Just like the rains, you know, that come after a hot summer. When the rains come, all the dust that you find in summer, when the first rains come in autumn, they settle all the dust. All the dust and all the agitation in your heart, they become immediately settled upon your lotus flower of your loving relationship with Krishna. Which now brings us to the point that the best way to establish relationship with Krishna is to constantly remember him. The best way to constantly remember him is to establish one of these relationships with Krishna. And the best way to establish one of these relationships with Krishna, because he is the reservoir of all relationships, is actually to get ourselves firmly fixed and attracted to the instructions of the Lord. Because once the instructions of the Lord are firmly established in our hearts, then we become purified. And when we are purified, then we will remember Krishna even more intensely. This bhava that we talk about, you know, what is this bhava? This bhava, literal meaning of bhava is fabric. If your clothes are made of thin fabric, they will tear very easily. If your clothing is made of good fabric, your kurta is made of good fabric, how much you wash also, the fabric goes. It is the same with devotional service. If the fabric of your devotional service, which is placed on the platform of loving relationship with Krishna, If it is strong and qualitative, then it will never tear. Your ship will never sink. Otherwise, it must sink. It must sink. So only two things I can remember flowing from this point. One is the fact that we must never forget the relationship that we have and can establish with Krishna is dependent only on one factor from his side. It's the other inch of the rope which was 2 inches short. One is our endeavor, the other is his mercy. It is the mercy of the Lord that will really, really, finally keep us engaged in his remembrance. We can do anything, Prabhu and Mataji's, but if we become proud of our endeavors as devotees, then we forget that without mercy of God, we cannot go anywhere. I do nice daily worship, I give nice classes, I sing very nicely, I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that. The moment that I come to the mission becomes very dangerous. Prabhu, I will instruct you now. I will show you, Prabhu, how to come to devotional service. This is very dangerous stuff. This is not a ship, this is a submarine. Right? It's not a ship, it's literally a submarine. You are going to submerge in this kind of thinking. Relationship is reciprocal. If you try to endeavor, the other inch of the rope, mercy of the Lord will come. Even if you endeavor with all the wrong intentions, Prabhu said, Mataji, still, by the pages of Bhagavata, Krishna allows you to come to him. You know, in 7th canto, first chapter, in that chapter, Nanda Muni makes a case for Krishna. He says that Kamsa, because of envy, also attained Krishna. Sishupal, out of envy, remembered Krishna, also attained Krishna. Of course, we don't want to be envious of Krishna. Prabhupada makes that point very clear. Never establish your relationship with Krishna based on envy. But it shows us the extent of the Lord's mercy. What Prabhupada advances in argument is this. If those who are envious of the Lord can also merge into the Lord in the lowest form of liberation but still be liberated, what to speak of those who are favorable to the Lord? Not inimical to his instructions, not resentful of him. How much more they will be able to come to Krishna? You remember Putana? You remember Putana? Putana came to kill Krishna. Right? She dressed up as a nice nurse. Her mood was not to nurse Krishna. Her mood was to kill Krishna. But she acted the role of the nurse. But because she acted the role of the nurse, Krishna mercifully sucked the life air out of her and then gave her liberation. And Prabhupada tells us in Bhagavatam and our sages tell us in the sastras that because of a pretense of devotional service, Krishna allowed her in the next life to be in the service of him as a nurse. As a nurse! All this because she was envious. And all this because she pretended to act like she was nicely serving Krishna. We all know what actors we are. Isn't it? You know, sometimes we try, but because of material association, we also feel sometimes the need to pretend. The real understanding of our devotional service is within the four walls of our house where no one is seeing us. That is when we really know who we are. When dhoti, pilas, kurta, everything comes out, vyasasan is there, everybody is very nice. But this point is important to us. Krishna is so merciful, that one inch of rope is so merciful, that if even Uttana can be given service to him because she pretended to do service, how much we are trying with whatever sincere strength we can muster, how much God will be favorable to us. He will. That is why never feel morose, never feel discouraged in your devotional service. Don't complicate your life now by going back and thinking, which class do I fall into? Which category am I at this moment? You know, and in this category, which permutations am I exactly? Please don't do that now. Just remember two things. Krishna is the reservoir of relationship. Don't cheapen your relationship with him. Don't cheapen your relationship with devotees. Don't cheapen your relationship with this world. Because everything is part and parcel of Krishna. Put Krishna in the center. And just forget about this material energy of the Lord, because it is always going to trouble you. The nature of the material energy is going to trouble you. You can't fight that, the Muslims, right? Nature of water is to flow, nature of fire is to burn, nature of the material world is for you to suffer. Therefore, once you accept that, you will be free. And even if you cannot start devotional service to the highest point of whatever rasa that we have described, it doesn't matter. All that matters is that you continue without budging an inch from your determination to serve the Lord and continue serving His devotees. That is very important.
Muktam Nigadandu Nitikuna Brantam Vaidika Mandam Bandara Sanchaya Jadadiyam Muka
Madhurya Puri's prayer is the best prayer we should remember before we end today. He says, let the sharp moralists accuse me of being delusional. I don't care. Let the experts in the Vedic literatures, let them come and slander me for being misled. It doesn't matter. Let my friends and relatives who are looking at me and thinking, what is this Krishna consciousness? What is this fellow trying to do? Let them call me frustrated. You know why? He's not doing well in his job, so he wants to become sadhu. Never mind. Let them call me anything. Just let me. Let my brothers, you know, who are looking at me and saying, why are you waking up at 3:30 in the morning like a madman? Let them call me a fool. It doesn't matter. Let the wealthy look at me and point out to me that I must be mad not to earn money and make it the be all and end all of my existence. It doesn't matter. Let the other philosophers say that I'm much too proud because I don't want to sit down and engage in philosophical discussions with them. It doesn't matter. But what is important is this. My mind, I pray, does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of my Supreme Lord Govinda, even though I'm unable to do it. This is the perfect mode of devotee. He's humble. He knows he can't do it on his own. But at the same time, he recognizes that except for Krishna and devotees, frankly, Prabhu Srimadis, what other ship can you get into? Is there any other ship which is worth getting into? There is nothing else for us. Krishna and devotees are all in us. So we pray now always to be in loving relationship with Krishna, loving relationship with devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings. If we do that, I guarantee you from the pages of Sastras that the trash and the rubbish in our hearts and minds will go, and our constant remembrance of the Lord will rapidly increase. Hare Krishna. Jai Bhutra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Jai time is of the essence and I've taken too much time, please forgive me. I will not entertain questions because there is no time really. No, this is the best excuse I can find. If there are any questions or comments, please approach the speech devotees or we can speak about it when we have the time later. But now what is very important for us, do we have Narayana Prabhupada's reference? Who are you?